Blog Talk Radio.
الله أكبر الله أكبر.
This is the world broadcast of Imam Warth Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to human dignity and justice.
The book you've been waiting for is here. The book that unlocks all the mysteries of yesterday and today. A dynamic book of clear understanding. As the Light Shineth from the East by Warth Deen Muhammad. This new book is filled with interesting and thought-provoking topics like
the evolution of the Nation of Islam,
Dr. Farad Muhammad,
human development,
crime,
elimination,
language,
culture,
America,
the beauty
and the beast,
the Honorable Elijah Muhammad,
and many, many more.
As the Light Shineth from the East by Warth Deen Muhammad will amaze you, will humor you, and yes, even shock you. Get your copy today. To order, send $2.50 plus 50 cents handling and postage to WDM Publishing Company, 4855 South Woodlawn Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60615. Act now while supplies last. Immediate delivery. Special discount rates for schools, bookstores, and commercial businesses. As the Light Shineth from the East by Warth Deen Muhammad, the book of the year.
And now, Imam Warth Deen Muhammad with the first of four parts.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
We greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Make a few comments before taking up an idea or thought or subject, as we might say, if we want to call it that today. But first, briefly, a few comments on the current problems in our lives. As Muslims, we are to see the world with the eyes of our religion, and we are to judge the world with the eyes of our religion. Once you become a Muslim, then the Quran, the revealed knowledge that God has made available to all humanity, but it is especially binding on us because we profess faith in Al-Islam, that knowledge becomes our eyes. That knowledge is our eyes. And we see the world through the light of Al-Islam. And we judge the world through the light of Al-Islam. That is, we criticize the world through the light of Al-Islam. We join the world as the light of Al-Islam dictates. We withdraw from the world as the light of Al-Islam dictates. If you are indeed Muslims, then you have a Muslim mind. If you are indeed Muslim, then you have Muslim heart. If you are indeed Muslim, then you feel for every Muslim on this earth. We cannot be Muslims here in America and not feel for the Muslims in South Africa, or for the Muslims in China, or for the Muslims in Turkey, or Palestine, or Afghanistan, or Iran. You Muslims have to come into the kind of realization as believers in God that will make you see yourself in the light of what you profess. If you profess something, then see yourself in the light of what you profess. And then get the courage to measure up to what you profess. You know, I find that generally By and large, the descendants of the slaves in America are still not free. Many of us profess Christianity, but when it comes to the order of this society, we break from our Christian convictions and follow the order of society. Many of us profess to be free, independent-minded, individual. But when it comes to identifying just where your life is, we find that your life is with the majority, right under the trends, or right in the grip of the trends of this society. And if the majority say, Iran is wrong, Iran is wrong. If the majority says, Afghanistan should get help, then you will say, Afghanistan should get help. Now, we can understand that kind of unstableness in the mind of the American people, but that shouldn't be in the Muslim community. The Muslim community should have its own mind. It takes its own stand. It makes its own stand. And it defends that stand, even to death. We don't give up. If it means death, we die on that. Yeah. I'm talking to Muslims. Excuse me if I said something to you. I'm talking to Muslims. You see? Dear beloved people, if you don't know the history of the Palestinian problem, then you should follow your imam. And I'm talking about this imam you're looking at right now. Because this is the imam that you made your leader. If you know the history, then we wash our hands of you. If you say, no, I think Palestine should be treated just like any other country. We just wash our hands of you. Because we have no responsibility to you. You know, and that's your attitude. Well, then we're finished with you. Go your way. But if you don't know the history of the Palestinian people, then follow your imam. The Palestinians are not the criminal. The Israelis are the criminal. And all of those Western powers who had some part in putting the Israeli government there, they're part of the crime. And that includes America. America is part of the crime. Oh, well, shouldn't we separate ourselves from America then? No. We are citizens of America. If there's something wrong with America, we want to make America right. So who will bring America to account for her bad behavior regarding the Islamic people if it's not Islamic people? We are American citizens, and we are Muslims. We are Islamic people. So in this country, if the Muslims are not to bring America to account for her sleight of hand, for her blindness regarding the treatment of Muslims, who will? You think the Jews will? We are Muslims. And a Muslim has a moral obligation to stand on what is right and just. The special favors of the city hall mean nothing to us when it comes to what is right. Afghanistan. The President of these United States have stood up for Afghanistan better and more commendable than you have stood up for. And you're Muslim. The President of these United States, I repeat, have said more in defense of Afghanistan and have expressed sentiments toward the people of Afghanistan in a more honorable way and praiseworthy way than even my imams in my community. That shows you that you're still slaves. You're waiting for someone from the mayor's office to tell you we should support Afghanistan. You're waiting for it to come from the welfare department, for the people who pay your welfare tax, to tell you, hey, you get welfare, well, you ought to support Afghanistan, our president supporting Afghanistan. But in your mind, you're saying Afghanistan, those people are Muslims. That's those old Muslims. So there's something from back in the slave day mentality working on your present mind. It's saying we ain't supposed to help no foreigners. We ain't supposed to help them, especially if they're Muslim. They're not Christians. And you're a Muslim. But you have the ghost of the past plaguing your senses. Senses won't even operate for you. Let's come out of that foolishness. I thank Allah that I'm a chip off of the toughest piece of wood that America has ever seen. When I'm right, ain't nothing gonna turn me around. That's right. And I had a good teacher. Lord Elijah Muhammad was a man of courage. He didn't ask nobody whether they liked what he was going to do or not. And let me find out if they're going to like what I'm going to do. No, he did it and didn't tell you, hey, you like it? If you don't, you better. That's what he would say. You like it? Say, well, if you don't, you better like it. Well, I don't tell you you better like it, but I just tell you you better know what you're dealing with if you're dealing with me, because you're not going to change me. Muslims should stand up for what is right. And as citizens of this country, we should be an influence in this country to bring the whole country to conform to what we see to be right. That's your right as a citizen. Do you think citizenship in this country is citizenship for Christians? It's citizenship for all people. You can be a communist in this country and be a citizen. You don't have to believe in God at all. There's no law that can put a communist out of this country or deny a communist equal rights. Whatever is for the people of these United States is for all the people of these United States. They have their right to say Jesus is the Christ, is the only Savior. And we have our right to say the Quran is the only Savior. Yes. Now, we're going to sit around and be shy as Muslims? Be courageous as Muslims. Don't be shy. Christianity has failed this country. And it's failed it many, many times. On every strong issue, Christianity has failed this country. Racism grew to be a monster in this country. Christianity didn't deliver this country from racism. That's right. Martin Luther King went always to India for ideology. Passive resistance from Mahatma Gandhi of India. Yeah. The church offered no answers for this. In fact, they were the ones who were fortifying it. They were the ones who were preserving racism in this country. In that, they presented us a theology that was white, that supported white supremacy. So they were contributing to the problem while the innocent preachers in this religion was trying to fight the problem. Isn't that something? Poor human beings trying to fight for human dignity and human decency in the society and using a Bible that subtly promotes those evils. Oh, I thought that imam had... I thought he was the imam that had a great respect for Christianity and Jesus, and I thought he was working for interfaith friendship and fraternalism. That didn't sound like the man I heard about. Well, you didn't listen well enough. I'm for all of that. But we have to tell the truth. We have to tell the truth. I asked, was there a Bible around? They told me no. If there was a Bible around, I was going to read from a small book called Joel. But since the Bible is not around, we won't read today from Joel. But when you find your Bible, read Joel. And connect Joel with the latest popular movie they made on Superman. Superman. You remember that movie, that late movie, Superman? Yes. All right. Superman is just another version of the book of Joel. J-O-E-L, I think it's pronounced. Yes. Superman is a version of that book. The main issues in that book. And what is it talking about? The Western society. American people. How they were formed to be a mental tool. A tool in the hands of another people. How they were helped by another people. How their life and their minds were formed by another people. For them to be of service to that people that gave them their mind and gave them help. Help that would enable them to overcome other nations. What kind of help? Knowledge that they didn't have. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the disobedient Jews who didn't obey the righteousness that they were given from their prophets, but they took that supreme knowledge and use it as a tool for subverting other world powers. So they would get the power of the world in their own hands. The Jews. Not all the Jews. A certain party of the Jews. Yes. And most of your problem right now, we can tie it right back into that thing that happened many centuries ago. They designed a plan that would put Caucasian Europe in power. But Caucasian Europe would be their little boy. From Caucasian Europe came America. So the whole West was to be their little boy. And they didn't give them everything that was to make them dependent upon them. So when they run into serious difficulties and can't work their way out of them, they have to come back to Papa. Have to come back to Daddy Jacob. Yes. In order to find the answer, to find a way out. And whenever America or Europe or the West doesn't go along with their wishes, they come out in the culture through movies, through literature, through art, through comics, everything that's within their grip, and most of the communication is within their grip. They come out through these avenues, these arteries of communication, and they attack America for disobeying them. The high-ups can read it. The high-ups know the lashing that they're getting. Poor you and me, we know nothing, because we are not on that high level to understand what's going on. So isn't it a blessing now that one from among you has been blessed to come into the knowledge on high
Yes.
That's a special blessing to you. That's your freedom. Yes. Your freedom was never possible until God gave one of us the knowledge that will combat the high knowledge of this world and give them a humiliating defeat. Yes. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he talked about the blackness of the original people, our black skin and everything. He talked about that, you know. That was just to attract us to something, just to get our attention. But if you really boil the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching down to the very nitty-gritty, to the essence of his teaching, the essence of his power or his teaching regarding power for a people is not in our black flesh. It's in knowledge. He said you'll never be equal until you have equal knowledge. He didn't say you'll never be equal until you are black as coal. He didn't say you'll never be able to deal with a white man and defeat him until all of you are as black as coal. He said you'll never be able to be equal with a white man until you have equal or superior knowledge. And that's a fact. That hasn't changed. Let me tell you, I'm happy to be here with you today. All right. And always happy to be with you. There's no place like home. And I'm not talking about Chicago, I'm talking about with our people. Right. We've been brought through hell and brimstone. And now we have supposedly been free and put under the influences of corrupt society. And we have to battle now to save each other from the clutches of this devious, deceitful society. Yes, all kind of traps out there for us. In the culture, that's where most of it is, right in the culture. It's not the physical obstacle that you see in some clanmen, some races, or some criminal person in the government, or to a conspiracy on the part of the majority of the white people to keep us inferior. It's not in the physical, the presence that you see with your eye, or the obvious evils that you see. No, it's the hidden thing. This world has given us religion as just a feeling. A feeling. It's no science. It's no logic. No knowledge. It's a feeling for most of us. They've given us religion as a feeling, and they have taken the precious knowledge, the science, that guide the mind. They have taken that and masked it. They have put it under a mask. Yes. It's under the mask of mythology. The Bible is filled with mythology. And we don't know it. We think it's all just the Word of God, strictly the Word of God. The Word of God under what veil? It's under the mask of mythology. Ancient Greek mythology. Egyptian mythology. It's under the ancient mythology, you see? So we never have the knowledge to work with or to work by. We only have the gospel to feel by. So we come to the church to feel good, not to see good. While those who orchestrate, who juggle things from behind the scenes, you know, they have the knowledge to see by. And you have the knowledge to feel by. In other words, you're in the dark. You're the blind boy.
of America. I'm not speaking of just you. The masses, Puerto Ricans, whoever, have joined that religion. The masses in that religion are nothing but blind sheep. Blind sheep, poor blind sheep. You know, I was watching television maybe 2 weeks ago, and a gentleman was on television, a Caucasian, I believe, looked like a Caucasian. He was on television being introduced for his new book that he had written. His book is not like his other works. His other works was poetry. He's an excellent poet. I can't think of his name. And he was introducing his book, a dictionary of meaning, word meaning, that he has put together. And in the book, while he was talking, you could see that one of his greatest joys was just to play with words. Oh, he was getting such a big kick, such a big thrill out of just revealing the kind of little catchy meanings that he had come upon in studying the history of a word, the history of certain words. So he brought out that the word story has been used so broadly, and most of us don't even give it any note at all, or catch the attention. The attention never comes to it at all. He said, we read stories, he said, but we also live in stories. He said that there was a time when the floors of a house were not only called stories, he said, but the decoration on each level was a story. He said, on one level it may be the story of Mary's little lamb, and on another level a different story, maybe a Bible, something from the Bible, a picture story. Would be on each level, he said. And you know, we speak of buildings as having stories. That building is so many stories high. You know? So if you live in a one-story house, then that's your story, one, you see? And two stories, three stories, it's all up, and some of these skyscrapers are 100 stories, you see? But anyway, what he was saying is true. Western society lives in stories. We live in stories. Stacked up stories. And you need to understand it. I could come to you and read to you the Quran and speak to you straight from the Quran, but that wouldn't be right. Why? Because I would be overlooking the life situation that is now on your neck. The Quran is my support, my life, my light. And it guides my feet and my hands and every organ to do what is best. The Quran guides me to speak to you right now as I'm speaking to you. Those who come here with the Quran and they read it, I'm an imam. The people, it's time for the meeting. Yes. Assalamu alaikum. You say, wa alaikum assalam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah. We'll never begin with. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And we will read it on and on and on. صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet said, religion is sincerity. Love for your brother what you love for yourself. If your brother's donkey should slip, help him lift it up. If you're walking in the way and there's something in the way, don't leave it for others to stumble over. Pick it up or remove it from the way. Beautiful! Beautiful. And so is what the preacher told the people this morning. But who will take the light of that book?
and shine it on the situation that is around your neck. So you may change, but I'll still be here on my job. All right. Dear beloved Muslim, there's nothing wrong with wanting to have a life free from misery, free from want, free from poverty, free from servitude. Nothing wrong with that. That is right. But if you don't have an intelligent plan, you may end up being the greatest slave in the society. Just wanting to be free from the things that are aggravating you is not enough. Having some intelligent plan to get free is the answer. I believe all of us want freedom. I believe all of us want a better life. All of us want the comforts of life. You think I want to starve? I don't want to starve. I want to eat. I want to live. You think I want to sleep in a bed of rocks? I want to sleep on a mattress. Clean one, too. I want the house to smell good. I want it to look good. I want an environment that makes me feel good. No sane person wants trouble and misery and difficulties in their life. No. But at the same time, I tell you that materialism is one of our number one problems. And until we get rid of that dependency on material things that make us sacrifice our moral stand, we ain't gonna get anywhere. We have to be strong enough independently or separate from the moral things, I mean the material things, to give proper support to the moral things. Never have I said we should be poor people. But I said it's better to be poor and get your moral life in order than to be rich or wealthy with your moral life out of order. Because the people who don't have their moral life in their own control are slaves to other people. Anytime some corrupt element in the government system want to use some of us, don't they either find the corrupt one or make him corrupt? They either find the corrupt one or find one who can be made corrupt. Then they use that person. You see? So that should tell you that you can't be free in this society until you first have your moral life in order, and it has to be within your own grip. If you take the stand that I take, you're going to carry a heavy burden. But if you carry it willingly for God's pleasure and for the good of society, and that is God's pleasure, if you carry it willingly, brother, you're going to have a happiness in your life that will just muffle out all of the bad, aggravating things. So you have your heaven and your peace, though you're carrying a great burden. Oh, yeah. So you're going to be attacked. You're going to be accused. So what you haven't done. Yeah. None of us are saints. We all have done something wrong. If you're a human being, you've done something wrong. That's why God say call on him and ask him for forgiveness. If we were beings that did no wrong, we wouldn't have any reason to ask God for guidance and forgiveness. So all of us do some wrong. But God say avoid those major sins. And if you avoid those major sins, then you will have salvation. Yes. You know, ask us to be a saint, to be an unnatural human being, an angel or something, to have salvation? No. You can be guilty of doing wrong today and tomorrow, and still have salvation. As long as you don't like that in your life. But the moment you start liking the wrong you're doing, your salvation is cut off. And those who don't like wrong in their lives, they're not going to pile up major sins in their life. Allah will give them help to avoid those major sins. Oh, yes. So let me remind those who will accuse people of major crimes. Knowing you're lying and claiming yourself to be Muslim. The law is, if you can't prove it, you get the punishment that would come to that person if it was proved against them. When I'm guilty of something that discredit me as an imam, you'll be the first to know it from my mouth. My pledge is to Allah and to this work. Anytime my own personal life puts this community in jeopardy, hurts it in any way, I will come to you first and tell the whole community. So we will be ready to fight those who will come against us. And if it's a major sin, you won't have to ask me to resign. I will tell you I'm resigning because I'm not worthy of this position anymore. I see too many signs in my life to believe that I'm going to go down that way. Oh, yes. You don't believe in signs? I do. And if you're a Muslim, you should believe in signs. Allah says in the Quran, there are signs. And what operates in the sky, there are signs. And what operates on the earth, there are signs. And what operates in yourselves, there are signs. Quran say in everything, there are signs. So I shouldn't believe that the extraordinary things that have happened in my own life are not signs? When God have already told us they're signs? I didn't write my own history. I didn't have the power to do that. I didn't decide that I would be born on Yemen Street. And Yemen means the right hand. And there ain't too many Yemen Streets in the United States of America. And I was born on Yemen Street. And it means the right hand. And your tribe of Shabazz is really not the tribe of Shabazz, it's a tribe of Sabah. And it was in what is now called Yemen. The country Yemen in Arabia. The Queen Saba was there. And the ruins of her great kingdom are still there, so you can go to see them. You can go see them right now. And you can visit those people and you'll see that they're like you, colored people, mixed up, belonging with African blood. And what has happened to them? They've gone socialist. Why? Because the light for all people was denied them. That's the only reason why they've gone socialist. The light for all people was denied them. Yes. Oh, I don't want to listen to this. It's not for you if you don't want to listen to it. But I don't want you to forget.
that my leadership is God's doing. I mean you who know it, you who have believed it. I don't want you ever to forget that my leadership is Allah's doing. How do we know a man, or a person for that matter? How do we know a man? Can anyone reply? Yes? By his work. Yes. I knew we knew the answer. How do you know a man? We know a man or a person by his or her work. It didn't say we know them, the man, by his face. Or we know a man by his race. We know a man by his work. Now let us ask the same question, but not of man. How do we know God? By his work. And we've been trying to see his face. God by his work, and in his work is revealed his way. And once we can discern in his work his way, we have seen his face. I'm not going into all the details to show you what I'm saying. I've been talking to you for 6 years. And really, I feel that I should come here and talk to you for 10 minutes and should walk out, and nothing should shake your faith ever. I'm talking to the people that are with me. Visitors who came here in innocence, in earnesty and innocence, I'm going to talk to them in just a few minutes from now. But whatever they hear me say, it'll benefit them too. You know, I'm not comparing the Christians, the visitors, our friends, with the jinn, but it's in the Quran that the jinn, they just overheard. They weren't being talked to. Nobody was talking to them. They just overheard. And the jinn say, we bear witness. Said, we want both men and jinn to know that none of us should ascribe sonship to God. None of us should invent a lie against God. All right. It's wonderful, brothers and sisters. So we know a man or a woman by the work they do. And in their work, we can pinpoint or identify their way. Yes. Study their work and try to find in their work their way. If you have intelligence, you will find in their work their way. And the same is said of God. We know God by his handiwork. Oh, yes. And his faith is his intent, his will, his intention, his plan. That's his faith. And isn't it the truth?
of us to, that what our soul is given to registers on our faith. That's why it is said in the book that you will know the believer. Their mark is in their faith. Light goes from before their faith. It also says you will know them by their mark, the Jews' mark, prostration mark. Muslims pray a certain way, and we put our faith on the ground. And in the Middle East, the Muslims weren't small like they are today. When you put your head down today, you want silk, Persian rug, or something, you know. They had none of those things. They put their head on the sand. Came time for prayer, they would prostrate right out in the desert on the sand. The whole of Arabia over there is nothing but desert. Very few oases. Very few places have greenery. They put their head on the hot sand. From putting their head on the hot sand, they got a black mark in their forehead. So it is said of the Muslims in the Quran, you will know them by their mark in their foreheads, the marks of prostration to Jews. I don't have one. You have to look very close to see mine. I got one, but it's very, very faint. You can't hardly see it. Why? Because there is no 100 and... You can't hardly see it. Why? Because there is no 130 degree out here. It's 130 degrees in Mecca. That sand is 130 degrees hot. Sometimes 140, 150 degrees hot at noonday. And you put your head there, you get burnt. Muslims try to find a shady place. They can't find a shady place. If they got a blanket or a covering, they'll throw it down and they'll pray on it. But many of them, the poor people, the majority of the masses, they pray on the hot sand. So they are marked. So now, he doesn't have a mark. The Quran says you will know the Muslims by the mark in their forehead. He doesn't have it. But what else it says? You will know them by the light. Say, before their faces goes a light. So there are more than one way to know the believer. And there are many other ways to know us. It gives many other ways. To know us by their work, that's the best one. By his deeds, by his work. But there is also a physical sign of prostration. But can't any hypocrite come in here and get that mark if he wants? Any liar, deceiver, if he want to get that mark, he can get it. But he can't get that light. The light that goes out from his face, he can't get that except that it be in his heart. It has to be for real. Now, here is another problem. In our thinking, whenever those who conspire to dominate the lives of all the people see loyalties that were once approved and even promoted working against their new idea, they undermine those loyalties that were once promoted and approved by everybody. What loyalties am I talking about now? We once believed that people should be loyal to their leadership. But over the last decade or so, there has been a conspiracy to undermine loyalty to leadership. They got most of us thinking that no man should be under any leader. Nobody should be under any leader. And look at the wreck that our family lies in. Parents can get no respect from their children. Husband gets no respect from wife. Wife gets no respect from husband. Everybody going their own way. And think that that's popular, proper, and right. That you're not supposed to obey nobody. That shouldn't be the attitude of Muslims. The Quran say, obey Allah. Obey Prophet Muhammad. Obey those who are charged with authority. That's what it says. So anyone who's charged with authority, you should obey him. My mother is charged with an authority as long as I'm her child under her. My father has an authority as long as I'm a child under my father. The school teacher is charged with authority as long as I'm her pupil or her student or his student. There are many categories, many areas of authority. And this book covers them all when it says, obey those who have been given the right of authority. If I've taken that right, if I've taken that authority without right, you shouldn't obey me. But if I have that authority with right, you should obey me. If you come under that authority. Civilized society believes in leadership. Civilized society doesn't only believe in leadership, civilized society sees as its vital future the promotion, the establishment of strong leadership. Because if you don't have it, you're prey to the people who have it. You're at the mercy of those who have it if you don't have it. If your families are weak, don't have strong parent leadership in them, then you're at the mercy of those who have that strong leadership in their families. They will march on to victory, achieving in society, and you will be begging and at their mercy. If you live in neighborhoods that have no churches, that have respectable leaders there, that the neighborhood, the community respects, or if you live in the Muslim community and there's no man that you can go to and tell the people outside, this is our leader, you're weaker than those people who have a man to point to. They say, this is our leader. A leaderless people are headless people. This is nothing but common sense. Well, we're afraid of leaders because they have betrayed our trust. Make them measure up to what you demand of them then. Don't be a fool and say we don't want no army because the generals betrayed our trust. The other people still got armies. They still got generals and they still got armies. Now say if the other people can get their generals to measure up, we're going to get our generals to measure up. Don't give up the idea of having a counterforce. You must have a counterforce to survive in a society like this. This is a democracy, a pluralistic society, where people have the right to exploit your weaknesses. This is an American right. Americans have the right to exploit your weaknesses. That's Americanism. Now those who know will bear me witness. There are students of American society who know I'm telling the plain truth. Americanism is the right to exploit the weak. And the weak have the freedom to make themselves strong. This is Americanism. Now you're going to let these people talk you out of leadership. I'm a leader. And the day I stop being a leader, I'm going to be a follower of a leader. Although I have a leader, I have the Quran, I have Prophet Muhammad, I have a leader, but I mean a living physical person. The day I stop being responsible for the top of this leadership, I'm going to be under the top of another man. I will be a leader or I will support the leadership. That's my life. I ain't going to be no sissy community. I belong to no bunch of sissies that don't have a strong leader to stand up and represent them. Must have a man to represent us. Yes. That'll go before the people. Say, this is what we are. This is what we want. says this. Imam W.D. Muhammad says this. Well, who is he? He's us. That's who he is. He's us. You must have a head to represent your body. Now, dear people, here is another problem. The same problem, pardon me, but I'm just looking at it now from a different angle. Being fed a desire just to be happy, to be well off, to be comfortable, to be free from any problem. Now, I said earlier that there's nothing wrong in trying to be free from misery, nothing wrong in that. But look, they feed us that idea so they can control our mind. They take us away from every strength. Everything that we use as a strength to meet them and fight off the influences that are no good for us. They deprive us of those strengths by telling us, oh, just go out after good time and leadership is bad. But the whole country is trying to vote in a leader. Not two, one man. Who will be responsible? And he picks the next one. They don't vote in two, they vote one. And he picks his man that's going to help him. The vice. Now, I didn't call him a vice. They did it. Yes. And when the president leaves here, he's going to talk to another leader. He don't go over there and say, hey, I want to talk to you people. Say, okay, I come to China, I want to talk to you people. They say, hell, you better talk to our leader or you'll get killed over here in China. That's right. What's wrong with that? Are you men or sisters? The sisters back there got more strength than you men. Tell me what's wrong with that. Talk to my leader. Don't talk to me. Unless he authorized me. To talk to you, I talk to you. If I'm not authorized to talk to you, go talk to him. And then they look at you differently. You become two more feet taller in their eyes. But if you say, yeah, you can talk to me. I'm free. It's not my own mind. They pat you on the head, on the back. Yeah, George, nice to meet you. Good to meet people like you, George. You got four legs and a tail and a bark in his eyes. But if you say, talk to my leader, you're a soldier in his eyes. You're a man with dignity and strength. This is the mind that you need if you're going to be successful in this world. I'm not preaching subversion. I'm not saying we want leadership separate from the United States. No! We're citizens of the United States. The Irish community, don't you know they have leadership? The Italian community, don't you know they got that leadership? Every community has that leadership. Even the American Indians. They got that leadership. And you're talking about we don't need any. Our leaders are saying that. The leaders come on the radio and say that. Oh, no, well, what has hurt us the most is leadership, the idea that one man should represent us. We should have many leaders. Which is true, but he's not saying it in the right way. We should have many leaders, but one that they all support. Now, that makes sense. Many leaders, but one that they all support. That's nature. There never will be leaders all equal. Never. There will always be one leader more qualified for the time, for the problems and the issues at hand. There will always be one leader more qualified. And that one should be the leader, and the other should give their support to that one. We are just not an ordinary community. We claim to still be an oppressed community. Underclass, underdog, oppressed community, denied our rights, threatened by racism, etc. Don't we still make those charges? And there's a lot of truth to them. So we are not just another community. The Irish doesn't have our problems. The Italians, they don't have our problems. And even they have leadership. And we got all these problems and say we don't need a leader anymore. Tell me, when did we make the greatest progress? It was when our focus was on the fewest people in the leadership. Now today, no person stands out. Yes, all of them are saying. Reverend Jackson, Imam Wadatu Dean, and Hooker, Benjamin Hooker, this and that, they all the same. No one stands out, and we have nothing. Dead spirit, no drive, no future, nothing. Just waiting to see which way the chips fall. Isn't that our faith? But when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a strong focus for leadership, oh, there was progress. There was a chord in the minds of the people. There was unity in the minds of the people. There was an evident movement of a whole body of people going somewhere. Or at least trying like hell to get somewhere. When the focus was on Dr. King and not a whole lot of them, Dr. King represented strong leadership for the civil rights movement, and they were making progress, knocking down Jim Crow signs and opening up the avenue of opportunity for their people. Progress was being made, and there was some sense of accord, unity, collectiveness. But this old mind that we were sold to get us weak and at the mercy of the people that want to suck all of our blood have taken us from that now, and we don't want no leadership. Pitiful. They appeal to your selfishness. They appeal to your self-centered egotism. They appeal to your selfish blindness. And then, oh, the knowing that everybody has this weakness in them, so we'll feed it. Well, hell no, I agree. You don't need no leader. You don't know the reason why you're agreeing is because you don't want to be responsible to nobody else. And really, if you would like to be the leader yourself, and you see that chances are nil that you would be the leader. So since you can't be the leader, hell no, we don't need no leader. They got you. They came through your weakness and got you. Now you go along with them. You sing the same tune. No, we don't need no one leader anymore. The strongest principle, guiding principle in the life of Muslims is oneness. One Allah, one community, one direction, one law, or one way, and one responsible man over the people. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
All right, everybody, listen. The propagators, they have a question to ask. Here you go. Are you telling everybody that
African American, you say you're a Malalian. Well, white supremacy was mean, one hell of a machine, kept you dormant in your grave. But you rose up and fought, seems like no results were born from the battle that you waged to kick the so-called white man out. But now he's gone, who you gonna blame it on? Whitey, 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 you still shout. It's time to grow now. It's time to grow, cause this is a new day. But how you gon' grow? With corruption cause you to move slow. You gotta pluck the weeds away. You got to plow your field before you plant your crop. The wise farmer, he knows how to set a pitch out. Look, aging with time, the song is hard. And so are the people being away from God. It's time to grow. But here's what you say. You say the Godfather, man, and Superfly. Them cats will kill. What you telling the farmers on the scene with this weed fucking machine? And them chumps ain't no big deal. Who are you, man? Who are you? And here's what you say. You say there's drug dealing and there's mixing dogs. Man, I'm scared. When you challenge Whitey, you stood firm and mighty, and you won't slap a dope pusher upside his head. Who are you, man? Is your name doctor? Your name lawyer? Your name educator? Who are you? Who are you? Identify yourself, not by what you say, by what you do. Your brother wanna hear from you. Who are you? Come on, cause we wanna know right now. Yeah.